Well, Brother Thomas and I were talking tonight, right before the services, about what the sermon was going to be about tonight. And I said, well, we're going to talk about heaven a little bit. And he said, oh, yeah, what particular aspect of heaven? I said, the fact that we're going to have a new body in heaven. He said, there's a song about that, isn't there? And I said, yeah, there's an old song about that called This Old House. And I don't think he was thinking about that song. I think he was thinking about another song. This is a song, an old song back in the 30s, I think, the 1930s, that is, about this old house once knew my children, this old house once knew my wife, and on. And then the chorus, it says something like this. I ain't going to need this house no longer. I ain't going to need this house no more. I ain't got time to sweep the chimney. I ain't got time to fix the door. I ain't got time to oil the hinges or to mend the window panes. I ain't going to need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Okay? And this song was about the idea that when this life is over and we get to be with Christ in heaven, that we're going to get a new body, you see. That the body that we have right now is an old house, and it's slowly decaying and deteriorating, and one of these days it's going to end and cease, and it's not going to be anymore. But that we have within the Bible a great and precious promise of Christ that we're going to get a new body. And that gives us such great reason to rejoice, you see. Because I know that, and those of you who are older know, that the older we get and the longer things go on, the more the body kind of wears out, wears away, and it can't quite do as much as it used to do anymore. And the other day, I saw Gavin. We were in Texarkana doing something in the parking lot, going to see a movie, I think. And Gavin ran up and jumped on Austin's back, and he grabbed him around like this, you know, just run and jumped on him. And Austin said, "Gavin, what are you doing?" And Gavin said, "I'm just playing." And Austin said, No, you're not doing it right. If you're going to run and jump on me, you need to jump higher and get on me more." And I was like, oh, well, I didn't think that was going to be what he was going to say. You know, of course, I can't do that anymore. I can't have kids run and jump on my back like maybe I used to when I was Austin's age or younger. And because the back won't take it, you know. And you know that if you're my age or older even, you know what you can do and what you can't do. Used to be that, you know, I could just run up and down steps, whether, you know, in buildings or in the stadiums and things like that. Just get out there and run up and down those steps. I don't feel nearly as confident doing that anymore. And I see people out there running up and down steps, and I think, whew, I can't do that. And when football season comes around, and I see my kids, you know, running up and down the steps like that. Well, they can do that, but I can't do that because my old body's wearing out. And a fall, you know, the older you get, the more you worry about falling, and a fall will produce more damaging results the older you get, as opposed to the younger ones, you know, who fall and they kind of fall down and just, you know, dust it off, you know, you're okay. When Austin, I'm telling stories on Austin tonight for some reason, but when he was about 5 years old, we were out at a state park in Missouri. And he fell from off of a jungle gym type thing, a ladder, and he just fell back and he put his hand down. And when he put his hand down, he broke his bones right here around the wrist area. And we took him into the doctor to see the doctor. And the doctor said, oh, you know, he's going to be fine at this age. Their bones are a lot like rubber. And I said, really? He said, yeah, they're a lot like rubber. That bone's going to pop back in. It's going to heal up and it's not going to be a problem. But when you get older, your bones aren't like rubber. They're more like brittle, dry sticks or something like that, you know. But that's this body. That's the body that we have right now. But we're not going to always have this body. And that's what Paul is telling us in the Scriptures when we turn to passages such as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at the end of that chapter and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we're going to get into tonight, that there is this wonderful promise of a new body. And this gives us great reason to rejoice. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that new body. I'm looking forward to having that new body. And that fills me with such hope and longing and desire. And that fills me with great joy as well, knowing that with that new body, I'm going to be able to do some of those things that I used to do. And you know, with that new body, maybe Gavin can jump on my back or something. And that'll be something to look forward to. We'll have a new body. Now, this new body is going to be blessed beyond measure compared to the body that we have right now. The body that we have right now is decaying. And the truth of the matter is that it is subject to death. And that unless Christ returns again, that all of us in this room are one day going to die. And that's just the truth of the matter. And that's something that we need to understand, first of all, and learn to accept, second of all, and then third, prepare for, so that we will be ready for that day. And so this body is subject to death. But having that new body is going to be a time of rejoicing and a time of great joy and happiness because it will not be subject to death. That new body is going to live forever, okay? And that new body is never going to die. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. You know, talking about what's going to happen when Christ comes back again, John in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "And there shall be no more death." No more death. Well, in order for there to be no more death, something's got to change. Because this body is subject to death. And so we've got to have that new body. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 54 and 55. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You see, right now we're subject to the corruptible. That's this body. It becomes corrupted. And we're familiar with that because we have to deal with things like upper sinus congestion and infections and diseases of different kinds or one another. And that's corruption, okay, that's coming into the body. And that is slowly, over time, breaking the body down. Now, God has given us some wonderful tools to help us with these things and to put off the corruption of the body as long as possible. And He's given us some wonderful knowledge in that regard as well. And we're blessed to have those things in our society. But as great as modern medicine is, they still have not found a cure for death. They still haven't found a cure for that. And so that's something that we continue to expect. But this body is corruptible. But the body that we're going to have is going to be incorruptible. That means nothing from the outside is going to be able to affect it so as to change it and to bring it into a state of degradation. And that's a blessing. That will be a great blessing. This body is mortal, which means it's subject to death. But then that body is going to be immortal, is what Paul says in verse 54 and 55 here. And so death isn't going to have any stranglehold over us anymore. And one of the great blessings of being a Christian is that when we really trust in Christ and we see what God has done in Christ's life to bring Him out of the hold of death, raised Him from the dead and brought Him forth and presented Him alive to those 12 apostles, to Paul, and to above 500 Brethren, at one time, Paul tells us at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we start to get a glimpse of what it means to live outside of the fear of death. Because Jesus wasn't afraid of death. He knew what was coming, and he knew what was going to happen, and he knew that he was going to be victorious over it. Now, that doesn't mean that he desired the experience, okay? But he knew that he was going to be victorious over it and that he had nothing to fear from it. And we have the same promise. That is, that we do not have to fear death. Now, we certainly can do that. And we can let that consume us. And it consumes a lot of people in this world. And it makes a lot of people's lives miserable because they're constantly fighting this fear that they have within their life and they're not able to face it because they know it's coming and there's nothing that can stop it. But the Christian knows better. The Christian knows that something has stopped it. Jesus himself. And that by trusting in him, he can put an end to that, and that ultimately on the other side is nothing to fear when we trust in him. And so having this new body is going to be a great joy because it's not going to be subject to death. And there will be no more death when we have this new body. But secondly, and we've already hinted at this, but let's go ahead and talk about it a little bit more. It will be joyous to have this new body because there will be no more disease to afflict it. When I was younger, you know, I could get a cold or a sinus infection or something like that. One or two days, I was done, and I was back at it, you know, pretty strong. But now that I'm older, you know, something like that, it takes longer to get over it. And the older you get, the more your body struggles with that, and the more the body has to fight to overcome those kinds of things. And the longer that we have to wait in order for the body to be healed. But when we get that new body, we're not even going to have to wait because there's not going to be anything that's going to afflict it. No corrupting influences, as we mentioned earlier. In Revelation 21:4, we read, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying." Now listen to this. "Neither shall there be any more pain." Now think about that for just a moment. No more pain. What does pain come from? Pain comes from the afflictions that we experience within this life as the body takes those afflictions into it. Whether it be a disease or whether we get cut from something or whether we step on a sticker, you know, out in the yard and that hurts. That all of that's going away. And there's not going to be any of that anymore. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Right now, I can feel a little bit of pain in my right hip. And it's just there. And it's not very much, and it doesn't bother me, and most of the time I ignore it. But I know that it's there, and it comes from the fact that I have a little bit of arthritis in the top of my pelvis in the back here. And I knew where that came from, and I knew why that happens. And I feel it. And sometimes it hurts worse than other times. And you could probably tell me about your pains, too, if I gave you an opportunity. In fact, if we opened that up, every single person could come up here and say, "Oh, I hurt here and I hurt there." You know. But that's something that we deal with. That's something that we accept. That's something we understand. But can you imagine having a body that has no pain? None whatsoever. You say, "Well, maybe I can think back to my childhood." But even in your childhood, occasionally you might touch a hot stove or you might step on a sticker. Oh, I remember those. Dad called them goat heads. You know, they used to grow in the yard. And when we were kids, we'd get home from school. The first thing we'd do is take our shoes off, right? And I'm not from Arkansas, I promise you. But that was a joke, by the way. You can laugh at that if you want to. Those of you from Arkansas may not laugh at it. But Gavin loves to take his shoes off, you know. And we take our shoes off. The first thing I do is run outside, you know. Boom, just full blast, going out the door, just run out the door. And then at about 10 steps, you'd hit the goat heads. And it wouldn't be any more running. It'd be falling down on the ground with your feet sticking up in the air going, ow, you know, because you get stickers in your feet. Though they hurt. They hurt, you know. But no more pain in this body that we're going to receive, that God is preparing for us. Listen to Revelation 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. What is he talking about there? No more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What is the curse here that he's talking about? You got to go all the way back to the beginning of Genesis chapter 3 to find what he's talking about here. He's talking about the curse that resulted in Adam and Eve's life from the fact that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened as a result of that curse? Their pain was multiplied in the body of women. Adam then had to eat bread from the sweat of his brow, you know, work, labor extra hard in order to survive. And then God also cursed the land in putting all kinds of thorns and thistles and things like that in it. And that's why, you know, when I was a kid, I walk outside without any shoes on and step in stickers. It hurt. But there's no more curse going to be there. And that's going to be fantastic. There shall be no more curse. And so the body is not going to be cursed anymore. And we're going to be able to live in a joyous state. It will be joyous because there will be no more corruption. No more death. No more disease. No more corruption. Corruption. What are we talking about when we're talking about corruption? Well, go home and open your refrigerator. And look way back in the back. Now, for many of y'all, maybe you keep a very clean refrigerator, you know. And you never have anything that you leave in there that gets old and moldy or anything like that, right? Nobody does that, right? Okay, I see some smiles out there, so that's good. It means you're paying attention. Occasionally you'll go in there and you'll open the door, refrigerator door, and you'll go in the very back and there'll be something in a container back there that's been in there for a month or two. And you'll open it up, and what's in there? All kinds of, you know, it's a science project, right? All kinds of stuff. And you'll go, ooh, take that out, put that down the drain. That's corrupted. It's no good anymore. You can't use it. It's not going to help anybody. And so there's no more corruption. And corruption happens in a lot of different ways. And like I said, our bodies can be corrupted. You know, the way that they discovered the cure for smallpox was that they introduced another disease to the body, cowpox. And when people received the cowpox disease, which was a lot less threatening than the smallpox disease, they developed antibodies, and those antibodies in the bloodstream then were able to fight the smallpox virus as well. And so you could get inoculated from the smallpox by getting cowpox. Okay? But all of that, cowpox, smallpox, all of that's corruption entering into the body. Now it can be helpful. We can use it in a beneficial way, but it's still corruption. And once you've had it, the antibodies are going to stay in there, and they're going to continue to be in your body. And you're going to test positive for those kinds of things. That's corruption entering your body. And so when we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53, Paul talks about how that we're not going to have this corruption anymore. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, notice, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Incorruptible. I am really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to the idea that I'm not going to wake up one morning and have an upper respiratory problem of some kind, you know. Or that I'm not going to sneeze anymore. Or that I'm not going to have a fever anymore. All of these wonderful things. And that gives me joy and it gives me hope. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now what a beautiful promise. And that promise is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. Now God gives us that. And we can hold on to it. And we can trust in it, knowing that it happened. And knowing that one day God is going to make good on that promise. Christ is going to come back and we're all going to be changed. And there is going to be a wonderful change, a beautiful change. We shall be changed. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Those who are in corruption will inherit incorruptibleness. They will be incorrupt at that point. And we will get a new body. And it's going to be a great body. And this inheritance that we receive is going to be incorruptible. That means nothing's going to be able to take it away from us. We're not going to look in the refrigerator, if you will. We're not going to look in the refrigerator, you know, back to the back and pull out something that's growing mold. You know, there will not be any expiration dates on the food, so to speak. If you want to think of it in those terms, right? And that's what it means to live in an environment that is pure and holy and sinless and incorruptible. And it will be joyous because there will be no more temporal cares and concerns. We, of necessity, must deal with temporal cares and concerns as they come along from time to time. Whether, you know, we've been talking about a lot about, health-related problems because we're talking about the body. But we could just as easily talk about financial issues or problems with the automobiles or problems associated with the house. You know, not too long ago there was a storm down at our house that we have in Buda, Texas. And I still own a house down there that's being rented out right now. And the storm was so severe that all the fences were blown down and they had to be repaired. And then a lot of shingles came off the roof and the repair company had to come out and, you know, replace the shingles and everything. And that all results from the fact of problems in this world. But those kinds of things are temporal cares and concerns that we have to deal with. I don't particularly like having to talk to the rental management company and them telling me that, you know, you got to pay this bill because this broke on your house, you know. I don't particularly like to have to do that. I don't think anybody does, even if the house belongs to them, you know. But that's a temporal care and concern. But all of those things are going to be done away with. And they're not going to be around anymore. Because we're not going to have that corruption. And we're not going to have those circumstances and situations. No more temporal cares and concerns. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Through chapter 5 and verse 4. And then the lesson will be yours. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we might be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And when it all boils down to it, that's ultimately what we're going to have. Life. Eternal life. Life in its purest form. Life at its highest apex. Its greatest zenith, if you will. And we're going to experience that life on a daily basis, because that new body is going to be defined by life. And what a beautiful thing it's going to be. And we're going to enjoy it. I guarantee you that. And you're going to look back. And this is what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4. He's saying you're going to look back at all the afflictions that you suffered on the earth. And it's going to be a light matter. Now, I know that that's hard to envision. I know that that's difficult for us to really contemplate. Because when we're going through tough times, it's hard. And it feels like everything is coming down on us. And we've got all this weight on our shoulders. And we just don't know what to do. But God is going to make it so that when we're with Him in eternity, that all of those things will seem as nothing. We really won't look back on those things anymore and look at all of that suffering and look at all of the pain that we went through. We won't look back on that and think anything of it. It'll just be like driving over a real low speed bump, right? You ever done that? The great big ones, you know, you slow down for those because you don't want to hurt your car. But if there's a little tiny speed bump out there and you're going along, you can just drive right over it. And it's no big deal. Well, all of this life is going to look just like that in eternity, because we're going to have a new body, and it's going to be great. That new body is not going to experience death. It won't be subject to death. It's not going to have disease anymore. It's not going to have any corruption. And there's not going to be any more temporal cares and concerns. Now, that's a great reason to rejoice. And that's a great reason to have great hope in God and in Christ. And like I said, God has given us an earnest, if you will, in giving us Jesus. Because when He was resurrected from the dead, He came forth to a new life, an eternal life. And He ascended up into heaven, and He's now sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father until all His enemies are going to be put at His footstool. And the last enemy, the Bible says, the last enemy that He's going to conquer is death. And death is going to be no more. And at that point, we will be with Him forever. Now that gives me great hope and great joy, and I hope it gives you great hope and joy too, and an opportunity to rejoice in the things that we have promised for us as faithful Christians. Now, those who are not Christians don't have that to look forward to. And so we really need to get about the business of getting out there and sharing this message with others so that they can come to understand this wonderful hope that we have and the blessedness that they can experience in this life and in the life to come. And we want everyone to experience that. We want everyone to know that. We want everyone to be reunited with God. And if you need to be reunited to God tonight, you can do that through His Son Jesus. Hear His word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord. Be baptized and identify with Jesus and become a child of God. And this great hope of having this wonderful, beautiful, glorious, incorruptible body will be yours. And you can join in with us in rejoicing that one day that's the situation we're going to be in. Well, I'm so thankful for you tonight. I'm thankful that even though I tell bad jokes, that sometimes you laugh at them. And I appreciate that about you. And I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to talk about these things this evening. And if there's someone here tonight who needs to talk further about the gospel or about their need to become a child of God, or who just wants the prayers of the church, or has some kind of need of some kind, we have an opportunity now for you to make that need known, and you can do that at this time. Also, if you'd like to do that in another setting, if you'd like to come visit with me or one of the elders privately, I'm sure they'd be happy to do that. I would certainly be happy to do that, and you can take that opportunity as well to visit there. But whatever your need may be, we invite you to make it known while together we stand and sing.